Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. It's so nice to have you here today on a very crisp, cool day. I do want to thank Mickey for that wonderful medley of military service songs. And certainly with Veteran Days coming up, we want to recognize all the veterans who have served. So if you are a veteran, please stand so we can recognize you. Thank you for your service. There's going to be a Women's Association meeting after church in the library, and we have an announcement regarding the Christmas play. Contrary to the announcement that appeared in the Valley, we will not be presenting a children's Christmas play this year. We're not able to gather enough children to make it work. We hope as we grow in the coming year, we will perform a play next year. So keep that in mind going forward. With that, I'll turn over to the Christmas Eve service this year will be at 6 o'clock, and then and the Christmas Eve service for Mount Nebo is going to be at 8 o'clock. So
yes,
it's going to be a busy night for Reverend Rebecca. So it's going to be a very busy night.
Yes, it will be.
With that, I'll turn over to Rebecca to do the call to worship.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Please join with me in our call to worship. Here in this place, there are no foreigners, for all are welcome in God's house. Here in this worship, there is only acceptance, for love is the language of faith. Here in our lives, there are no divisions, for God dwells in each of us. Come, let us worship in unity and love. Please rise as you are able and join with me in our opening hymn, number 301, Let Us Build a House.
Yeah.
join with me for our prayer of confession. Holy and merciful God, in your presence we confess our failure to be what you created us to be. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. By your loving mercy, help us to live in your light and abide in your ways, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Please join with me in our words of assurance. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ lived for us. Christ died for us. Christ rose in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone, and a new life has begun. Friends, know that we are forgiven, and be at peace. Amen. Join with me in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, having been reconciled to God and to one another, having proclaimed that which unifies us, let us now share signs of peace with one another.
You guys get this one. Can you see what's in your offering plate? What is that?
It looks like a slip.
Yes. So this is actually, and I don't know if you guys use these, but this is called a check. So a check is something that you write out when you're paying your bills. So good job. So can anyone see what this number is? Do you know what this number is?
10,000.
Very good.
I'm pointing to the other one.
Oh no, sorry, I was pointing to this one. My bad. So somebody, we're going to pretend, last week in our offering, made an offering for $10,000, okay? So you guys are going to represent the person who made the $10,000 check. All right, so what do you have in your basket? You have coins. Do you know how much those coins are worth? They're kind of weird coins.
They're chocolate.
So I believe these are coins that are a half dollar, so they're worth 50 cents, and there are two of them, so you can put them back in. Alright, so I'm going to ask you this question. By show of hands, who thinks that the person who wrote the $10,000 check is a better steward? Raise your hand. Yes. All right. Who thinks the person that put in 2 coins is the better steward? Oh, y'all have heard this story. All right. So, had you not heard the story before, the person who wrote a check for $10,000 is clearly the better steward because $10,000 is so much more money than a dollar. All right. But now I'm going to change the story a little bit. Let's pretend that the person who wrote this check is named Mark Zuckerberg, the head of Facebook. And let's pretend that he makes $5 billion a year. That's an incredible amount of money, right? So $10,000 to him is not that much money. In fact, that's probably money he makes just for keeping money in the bank. Like, it's not much money for him. So let's pretend over here that the person who offered a dollar is somebody who's a widow or somebody whose husband or wife just passed away. And let's pretend that this is all the money that she had to make in her offering, and she actually doesn't have any more money to give. So now I'm going to ask, who do you think was the better steward? Person with the $10,000 or the person with the dollar?
Chocolate coins.
Person with the chocolate coins. Because in our story, the person who gives everything she has is being more faithful than the person who only gives what he or she can afford. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this in our bigger story. So, I had prepared myself that there may be more than 2 children here today, and I didn't only want to give 2 people chocolate. So, I brought more coins with me.
Yay!
In all shapes and all sizes, and that you want us to give all that we can, whether that amount is $10,000, whether that amount is a dollar. Lord, in the season of stewardship, I pray that you would teach us how to be more generous with our time, our talents, and our money.
You are my all.
We have a number of prayer and praise requests today. The first is from Kathy Sagey for her mom, Cora Swedko. She's suffering from multiple physical illnesses. Prayers the Lord will make her more comfortable. We have a prayer request from Penny Irby for her son, requesting guidance. And we have a praise request for all the veterans, past and present. Praise and thank you, veterans, for providing and protecting all of us. Praise to the ones who lost their lives and those who came back from any and all wars, whose lives were changed, either physically or emotionally. Forever, we will never forget. And finally, you've probably heard the story of someone willing to give the shirt off their back. And I heard today we have a recipient in the pews here. Bev is wearing a shirt a man took off his back to give to her, and it's one of the Pittsburgh Strong shirts in memory of the Tree of Life tragedy. She was at Kmart, remarked that she liked the shirt, and the mind says, do you want it? I'll give it to you, as long as you wear it. So that's the shirt the man gave off her back. It's a nice touch.
At this time, I invite us to please rise. We are going to sing Take My Life, but we're only going to sing the first four verses of it, number 697. Be seated. Please join me in prayer. Loving God, through your Son, you have called us to repent of our sin, to believe the good news, and to celebrate the coming of your kingdom. Like Christ's apostles, may we hear his call to discipleship and forsaking old ways, proclaim the gospel of new life to a broken world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, let us pray for our concerns. We pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. We pray for Cora. We ask you to strengthen those who are facing particular challenges. We pray for Stephen. We pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we continue to pray for our city in the aftermath of the Tree of Life shooting. We thank you for the ways that our city has rallied together to support the victims and their families. We pray in the coming months and weeks and years ahead that we would continue to model the spirit of generosity. Lord, today we lift up to you our brothers and sisters in California who are facing horrific and widespread fires. We pray for everyone who has lost their homes, and particularly we pray for the friends and families of those who have lost their lives. Lord, we lament that it seems that every week there is another incident of another mass shooting, and unfortunately this week was no different. We pray for those affected by the shooting in Thousand Oaks. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. We thank you for the men and women who have served their country in the armed forces. We pray for healing for the veterans who have been wounded in conflicts around the world. We pray for peace in the regions they fought in. While we give thanks for the sacrifices of themselves, we pray that you would give us a vision for a world without war. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear and do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us continue to worship God by presenting our tithes and our offerings.
Good morning. I drove in here this morning and saw all those leaves lying on the ground. And my radio was blaring, How Great Thou Art, We Will Gather at the River. I heard four of them on the way in and I forgot the other two, but they were the good old gospel songs. And as I looked down at the leaves falling on the ground, all I could do was thank my father, who is a disabled veteran, World War II, and thank every veteran, because as I counted the leaves, I counted the lives that gave something to me, freedom. And I hope we all thank every vet we know. The reading today is Mark 12, 38, 44. As he taught, he said, Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces. and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive their great condemnation. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasure. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live for." Thus is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning seems to be about stewardship, or how we are to manage the resources that God has entrusted to our care. In our story, the scribes are bad stewards. A lot has been entrusted to their care, yet they waste their resources. They are given honor in the community, yet they rip off the most vulnerable in society, which specifically Mark is talking about widows and orphans. Ironically, the poor widow is this great steward. Not much has been entrusted to her care, but she offers everything she has to an institution that is probably corrupt and likely to be condemned. This morning, I want to suggest that this reading of Mark's gospel is a little too simplistic. And particularly in Mark's gospel, we need to be suspicious of overly simplistic readings, because Mark is trying to present a portrait of discipleship in all of its complicated messiness. I believe that the primary focus of this text is not stewardship, but discipleship. Yes, followers of Jesus need to learn how to manage the resources entrusted to their care. But the life of faith requires not just sacrifice, but offering. We, like the widow, are to offer all that we have and all that we will be to God for the sake of the world. In our story, the scribes are terrible disciples. They throw in large amounts of money into the treasury, but they're terrible at following God's law. Remember, Jewish law, and later Jesus, has very specific instructions for how the wealthy are to care for the vulnerable in society. Namely, widows, orphans. Folks who cannot care for themselves and have no one to care for them. Instead, the scribes devour widows' homes. Even though what they're doing technically wasn't illegal, it's not how the well-off are to care for the vulnerable. The poor widow, on the other hand, is a great disciple. She takes everything that she has and she throws it into the temple treasury. The temple, which, as you see from the scribes, is not the most upstanding institution. And she does this because this is how she lives out the greatest commandment: to love God while at the same time loving her neighbors. And Jesus praises her in front of the disciples because she has given everything she is and everything she has in service to God. Think of it this way: she is offering her whole self to God, whereas the scribes are only offering what they can afford. She is offering to God the greatest and perhaps only thing she possesses, herself. As I was preparing this sermon, I was trying to think about what would it look like for us, ordinary, everyday people, to offer all that we are and all that we have to God. I believe that all of us have parts of ourselves and our personalities that we would rather not share with others, let alone offer up to God. For me, it is the fact that I am what they call an introvert. I am somebody who tends to expend energy around people, rather than extroverts who are kind of like the Duracell rechargeable bunny when they're around people. They tend to gain a lot of energy. Now, even though I'm an introvert, I'm not shy. I try not to be awkward. And I really enjoy things like public speaking and preaching. I just prefer when I'm tired to unwind by doing things that are a little bit quieter, like crocheting or reading, rather than going out with my friends. The reason that I struggle to offer this to God is because I have it in my head that pastors are supposed to be extroverts. Pastors are supposed to be really great at working coffee hours after church. They're supposed to be better at this than they are at writing job descriptions or planning for worship. I'm not making this up. I have seen my extroverted colleagues work coffee hours in countries where no one speaks English. They will have spoken to everybody in the coffee hour before I have even figured out, okay, which table is the coffee table? How much coffee am I supposed to take? And is this a country where you put sugar in or cream? Because I thought that good pastors were extroverts, I spent the first year of my ministry trying to fake being an extrovert. And really, all that did was make me feel incredibly awkward. And I'm sure I came across as ingenuine. I decided somewhere around the 1 year anniversary of my ordination that I had to stop pretending to be someone I'm not. God has called me to pastoral ministry, so I had to learn how to trust that God would use me as I am, for God's glory. One of the surprising things that I learned when I stopped trying to be an extrovert is that when we present who we are to God, God uses us in really surprising ways. It was only when I stopped pretending to be an extrovert that I saw the blessings of being an introvert. Introverts are really great listeners. They can be skilled administrators, and they're lifelong learners. We're able to spend quiet afternoons at the church planning for the week ahead. We're great one-on-one in nursing homes or in hospital rooms. We may not be the loudest. We're certainly not the most charismatic. But God uses us to shepherd God's people and to call them into deeper discipleship. A couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege of attending the ordination service of one of my friends from seminary. This particular friend is transitioning to pastoral ministry after, I think she said, 30 years serving as a ruling elder or session member in her church. In our Presbyterian tradition, we understand ordination as a specific way that someone lives out their discipleship. In most of the ordination services you will attend, we always sing this one particular hymn, "Will You Come and Follow Me?" As we sang this hymn at her ordination, I was struck by the third verse. "Will you love the you hide if I but call your name? Will you quell the fear inside and never be the same? Will you use the faith you found to reshape the world around? Through my sight and touch and sound, in you and you in me." Friends, Jesus praises the widow's offering because she is offering all that she has, all that she may ever have, to God. She is a poor widow and she only has two coins. She offers these two coins because she trusts that God is going to use them for God's glory. I imagine this offering would have been difficult for her to make, particularly because she would have had to make it in front of the scribes who were throwing a lot of money at the offering. She knows when she offers her two coins that she's probably going to face the ridicule of the scribes. Even though it isn't much, her offering is all she has, and it will have to be enough. Friends, I wasn't surprised when most of you recognized this scripture passage. We tend to read it every year around this time, as our church and many other churches enter into something that is commonly called stewardship season, where we as a church will discern who God is calling to serve in the ordered ministries of our church. In our church, particularly as session members or on deacons. And we will do this by presenting our nominations for these ministries. At the same time, we as a church are discerning where God is calling us to go in the future as we put together a budget for 2019. This year, I want us to start thinking about stewardship not so much as a season of management, but as a season of discipleship. We Presbyterians are great at managing the resources that God has entrusted to our care. We create beautiful budgets, and our nominating slates are very well organized. But we stand to grow in presenting our resources and our gifts as an offering to God for the sake of the world. We stand to grow in thinking about how ordained ministry or financial giving might be an opportunity for us to offer all that we are and all that we have to God. A wise friend of mine once told me, "God actually doesn't need your money or your work, but you need to give your work and your money to God if you want to offer all of yourself to God. Because it is only in giving ourselves away that we learn who God is calling us to be. Also, giving ourselves away is the best and maybe only way for us to loosen the grip we have around our reputations and our resources." Friends, I want to end by saying that I actually take great comfort in the knowledge that our job isn't to overturn the corrupt practices of the scribes. God already has that under control. Corrupt people, practices, and institutions are all going to crumble in God's time. Our job is to be faithful to what God is calling us to be right here and right now, while at the same time being open to the surprises that God has in store for us along the way. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me in our closing hymn, number 852, When the Lord Redeems the Very Least. Blessing. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, He has a purpose to you being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something He wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in His grace and love and power. Amen.